our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Arthur Byrne, for Veterans for Constitutional Rights. We're going to be talking today, however, about an amazing story, The Plot to Seize the White House. It was written by Julius Archer back in 1971 and 1972, and totally suppressed by the controlled media because they don't want you to know there really was a plot by some very, very wealthy men tied into J.P. Morgan and Thomas Lamont to take over our country back in the 1930s and establish a fascist society. Now, the plan was really laid out by Colonel Edward Mandel House in a book he wrote in 1911. We actually carry the book called Philip Drew Administrator. It was a fictional book about a military leader who seized control of our country and established a fascist or a type of a dictatorship, but it was, of course, done for the good of the average man. And, of course, this was Colonel House's plan, was being enacted by his disciples, people like Lamont and, of course, J.P. Morgan, who were part of this hierarchy of evil that existed at that time. The fact that you could actually suppress a book about one of the most highly decorated Marine veterans of all time, Major General Smedley Butler, a Marine general who had two Congressional Medals of Honor, a great patriot, a great man, and we're going to talk about his book today with Arthur Byrnclaw. Arthur, how are you? Arthur, are you still there? Oh, that's because we haven't pushed the right button. Hi, Arthur, how are you?
That's better. Okay.
Right, fine. Well, of course, Arthur was good enough to copy the book and get me a copy of it. She had sent me one, but it disappeared along the way. And you go up on the Internet. How much do those copies cost now?
If you go up on the Internet, they run about $350, and they're hard to get. But what I do is I go over to Staples, and when I have 300 extra dollars, I make a dozen copies, and I make them extra large size. And if the government thinks that they've done away with the book while I'm still alive, they better think again.
And, of course, you have to understand there is an organized effort in America to suppress information. I mean, you're a publisher. You got a good book. Somebody will give you an offer you can't refuse. They'll buy up the publisher and call all the book copies back in again and then destroy the place to the first half of the book or refuse to actually circulate it, or as they did with Monica Jensen Stevens' book, why they simply shredded the copies of that. But it was accidentally. I want you to understand we can't let the American people know that there are facts and truths out there that they will never be allowed to hear of. So how did you learn about the book, Arthur?
I learned about the book from my mentor in Veterans Affairs, Sidney Cooper of Veterans Due Process. He's the first one who told me. He says, whatever you do, get that book. And I was lucky enough to get a copy at a library. And the librarian was stunned. She says, I haven't seen this around for years and years and years. And, you know, when they banned this book years ago, it wasn't as if Jules Archer, and we're going back to 1973, it wasn't as if Jules Archer was a novice writer. Jules Archer had written over 35 books at that time, and he had written some very famous books, and the amazing part was, in a matter of a few days, they took this book not only out of the bookstores, but out of the libraries and out of the schools.
Hold up. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Arthur Byrnclaw, who is a frequent guest on our programs, our evening program. We're going to be talking about a book. It's called The Plot to Seize the White House. It was written by Jules Archer back in 1973. He was a very well-known author, but he's writing about a Marine general who was approached by some very powerful men tied into the international banking community and Thomas Lamont and the Morgan interests and asked to lead a march of veterans on the White House with the whole idea that they were going to establish a fascist society at that time. It's an amazing story. How would you cover something like this up in America? Why, you would simply control the media, you'd control the publishing houses, you'd control education, and nobody has heard about the plot to seize the White House. So you pick up the story. Maybe you could start out telling our listeners a little bit about who General Smedley Butler was and why he was such a great American.
General Smedley Butler had been a Marine for 35 years. He was a veteran of many, many campaigns. Of the World War, he was a veteran of many, many Latin American campaigns, of a campaign in China, and he had been the Marine of all time. He was also a practicing Quaker, and twice he was the recipient of the Medal of Honor. Twice, not once, but twice. But he became convinced that military interventions were being used as a cloak for corporate greed, and he exposed a conspiracy to make a fascist puppet out of President Franklin Roosevelt. And this book, it's an analysis of a little-known attempt to take over the White House and turn the government into a puppet government.
And I think it's so important you understand, as I was telling our listeners a little earlier, this was basically an idea that was laid out in a book written in 1911 by Colonel House, who was, of course, one of the, well, he was deeply involved in the occult. He had total control over Woodrow Wilson and almost total control over Franklin Delano Roosevelt, at least during the early years of the Roosevelt administration. And we still carry that book. It's called Philip Drew Administrator, written anonymously by Colonel House. But I've actually been back to Sterling Library at Yale University, where Colonel House's papers are, and held the original manuscript of this incredible book in my hand. It lays out the whole plan for a fascist America, and most of the programs that he advocated have been implemented in the United States today. Oh, we don't have Benito Mussolini, but we certainly don't have a to republic any longer.
Nope.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Arthur Bernclough of Veterans for Constitutional Law, and we're talking about the book The Plot to Seize the White House. So why don't you pick up and tell the story there, Arthur?
Okay, about the time that he went to retire, General Butler, he dictated his war memoirs to Lowell Thomas, a very, very famous adventure writer, who published them as a book under the title of Old Gimlet Eye. And he was aware he was going to have a sharp drop in his income for retiring, and he went around the country making speeches. And he says, I do much better with speeches than writing a book. And generally, on August 21st in 1931, he was invited to address an American Legion convention in Connecticut. And he made the first no-holds-barred anti-war speech of his career, and it stunned everybody who heard it or read it in the few papers that dared report it. And what he said was these words exactly. I spent 33 years being a high-class muscle man for big business, for Wall Street, and the bankers. In short, I was a racketeer for capitalism. I helped purify Nicaragua for the international banking house of Brown Brothers in 1909 to 1912. I helped make Mexico and especially Tampico safe for American oil interests in 1916. I brought light to the Dominican Republic for American sugar interests in 1916. I helped make Haiti and Cuba a decent place for the National City Bank boys to collect revenue in. I helped in the rape of half a dozen Central American republics for the benefit of Wall Street. In China, in 1927, I helped to see to it that Standard Oil went its way unmolested. I had a swell racket. I was rewarded with honors, medals, promotions. I might have given Al Capone a few hints. The best he could do was to operate a racket in three cities. The Marines operated on three continents. We don't want any more wars, but a man is a damn fool to think that there won't be any more of them. I am a peace-loving Quaker, but when war breaks out, every damn man in my family goes. If we're ready, nobody will tackle us. Give us a club, and we'll face them all. There's no use talking about abolishing war. That's damn foolishness. Take the guns away from men, and they'll fight just the same. In the Spanish-American War, we didn't have any bullets to shoot. And if we had not had a war with a nation that was already licked and looking for an excuse to quit, we would have had hell licked out of us. No pacifists or communists are going to govern this country. If they try, there will be 7 million men like you rise up to strangle them. Pacifists? Hell, I'm a pacifist, but I always have a club behind my back. And this was the attitude of General Smedley Butler.
Well, I think that, of course, what he was talking about was the fact that the military was not being used to defend America. It was being used to expand the corporate interests throughout the world. Now, what's wrong with that? Why, simply, you don't go into other countries and overthrow their government and kill their people so that the corporations can make a great deal of money. And I'm not against free enterprise. But I am against this whole idea, which, of course, Major General Smedley Butler really did not understand, the Brotherhood of Darkness, these forces have been using America and our military forces for such a long period of time to advance their objective, which is to create a one world order and a one world religion, or a new world religion. And, of course, they needed, of course, to get other countries under their control. They've been working at that for over a century, and they're moving very, very closely now to the point where they can consolidate control over the entire world. And that's really why we're over in Iraq today. It isn't because Saddam had weapons of mass destruction, because we found out that the government lied to us. So why are we there? Why we're going to have World War III, and out of the horror of World War III, why will come the willingness of the American people to give up their sovereignty and to give up their freedom and accept a world government? And behind this are these dark and sinister spiritual forces that we speak of so often. But Major General Smedley Butler certainly understood that the wars we fought were really fought for nothing. He was in the First World War, and you get into the background of that, you have no idea the horrible carnage that took place in the First World War. We lost 125,000 men. But you have to understand what happened at Verdun. The French lost 400,000 men, and the Germans lost 400,000 men at Verdun alone. This was simply carnage. It was done specifically so there'd be so much horror that the world would be willing to accept this one-world government. And Major Smedley Butler had led the Marines there in the battles they were involved in the First World War. And they began to wonder, what's this really about? Why are we fighting another Christian country? Why don't we make established peace here? The Germans don't hate the Americans, and the Americans don't hate the Germans. So what's this really about? And that was why he came up with this idea that war is a racket. But why don't you then get a little bit into what happened later when he was actually asked to lead this Veterans March. Of course, there were a lot of veterans out here who had been promised they were going to get special bonus after they came back, and so many of them had lost their buddies and friends and lost their limbs and their eyesight and lost their health fighting in this stupid war in England, not our war at all, and they were promised a bonus, and then the government refused to give it, and so there was tremendous unrest among the veterans. And so many of them were talking about marching on the White House, and they'd tried that one time, and General MacArthur had commanded the troops that actually went in and killed some of the veterans and broke up the camps where they were staying. But now they wanted Smedley Butler to lead a massive march on Washington, D.C. So why don't you tell the story?
Well, when they picked Smedley Butler, they picked the wrong person, because Smedley Butler was a patriot beyond belief, and Smedley Butler did not believe in the violent overthrow of government. And this is what these people were doing. They were planning a violent overthrow of the government and taking the president's office and turning him into a puppet. And Smedley Butler would have none of this, so instead of leading them, he went to the Un-American Activities Committee, which was chaired at that time, co-chaired by Dick Steen of New York, Senator Dick Steen, and the fellow from Massachusetts.
Well, anyway, of course, they didn't want to hear this because, although they did take the testimony of why they wanted to keep this under wraps, the last thing they wanted was for the American people to realize that these great people of great wealth, of course, had been manipulating our government for so many years and sending our troops to foreign countries to fight wars, not because, of course, we had any business going over there, but because, of course, it was going to advance American business interests in those countries, and literally slaughtering the people over there, I mean, after we took the Philippines, my understanding is almost 200,000 Filipinos died because they wanted to get the Americans out of their country.
Exactly.
And we killed 200,000 Filipinos after the Spanish-American War because we wanted to control that country. Of course, eventually we turned it loose, but we still manipulated. And the same thing is going on in the Middle East today.
Yeah. We're not so unnecessary.
We are not coming home. If anybody looks at the recent appropriations, they asked for a supplementary appropriation in addition to the massive budget increase, which is $89 billion, more than we spent last year, and then they came up with another $82 billion supplementary budget, and in that is over 560 or $570 million to build an embassy in Baghdad. Why do we, if we're going to pull out of there, if they're telling the American people the truth that we're only there because we want to restore democracy, why are we spending $560 or $570 million to build the largest embassy anywhere in the entire world?
Because we have no intentions of ever pulling out of there.
But they can't tell the American people that, you see, because why they would begin to question what this is really all about.
Oh, the other senator from the Un-American Activities Committee was John McCormick of Massachusetts.
Right.
McCormick and Dickstein.
All right, of course. And now, of course, they did hear the testimony. And what did the senator, pardon me, what did the Major General Smedley Butler tell them?
General Smedley Butler told them about the many times he was approached by an agent of the American Legion. And the American Legion was the one who was supposed to strong... This was the agency that was supposed to strong-arm the whole thing and get a group of 500,000 veterans to march on Washington.
And they were going to be led by Smedley Butler, and they knew the Smedley would rally behind Butler because they trusted him.
That was the plan, right. But Butler would have none of it.
Well,
Butler would have none of it.
He played them along for a time because he wanted to get the information, but he had no intention of taking their money or going through with it. And eventually, of course, he tried to expose the whole thing when he had proof of it. But, of course, they could not let the American people know.
Well, Smedley Butler had people who were in total alliance with him. Senator Huey Long was in alliance with him, and... I guess you know what happened to Senator Huey Long for talking about some of the financial interests in the country.
Right. Well, he ended up like George Wallace, only George Wallace didn't die. But he ended up, like, of course, like President Kennedy.
They killed him. They killed Huey Long.
Right.
And we're talking about the man who originally approached him. It was a fellow by the name of Jerry Maguire, and he was a bond salesman for Grayson M.P. Murphy and Company, one of the largest companies in the world, and he was the representative who was picked to approach Smedley Butler, and he had many meetings with him, and Butler said, no, I'm not going to lead it. He says, I'm not in favor of this. The whole idea was Roosevelt had gotten off the gold standard, and they wanted to have him removed. The Republicans wanted to have Roosevelt removed from the president's office. And they said the next best thing to having him removed was keeping him there, but keeping him there as a puppet that's going to follow orders.
All right.
And that was the plan.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Arthur Bernthal of Veterans for Constitutional Law. And, of course, we'll welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. The book, The Plot to Seize the White House by Jules Archer, 1973. Isn't it interesting that they never talk about that? Well,
yeah.
Ask Rush Limbaugh about that sometime.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago. And it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, after the congressional hearings, congressman really didn't want to touch this. I mean, because Smedley Butler was talking about some of the most wealthy and powerful men in America. In fact, I have a letter, and we'll be glad to send any of you copies of it. I found it in Colonel House's papers at Yale University, where the president Roosevelt is writing to Colonel House about 1933, in November of 1933, and saying, well, as you and I know, both know, the financial institutions have controlled the government of the United States going back to the time of Andrew Jackson, and I'm not excluding Woodrow Wilson. So certainly President Roosevelt was aware of these powerful forces, and of course Thomas Lamont Morgan represented those powerful forces, and they were trying, of course, to get the military to stage a coup in America. Now, how could you suppress something that like that? Why is it we never teach this sort of thing today?
Okay, well, this fellow Jerry Maguire, who was the one to approach General Butler, was sent by this financial group, and some of the people you mentioned were people in this financial group. He was sent to Europe to study the fascist dictatorships of Italy under Mussolini, of Adolf Hitler in Germany, and there was a French group, too. And we were going to pattern a group here in the United States after one of these fascist groups in Europe. And Butler began, General Butler, in 1933, the end of 33 in December, he began touring the country for the Veterans of Foreign Wars, another veterans organization, and he made headlines by speaking out with his characteristic bluntness to attack the leadership of the American Legion. He told a large gathering of veterans in New Orleans that the VFW commander would not sell out his men as the officers in charge of the American Legion have, and he shared the platform with Senator Huey Long, and he urged Long to concentrate on fighting for the veterans' bonus and forget less important matters. And what he said to Long was, "What the hell do you know about the gold standard?" he challenged Long. "Don't pay any attention to what the newspapers say. Stand by your friends and hell with the rest of them." So he took Long's political demagoguery at face value, and he believed him to be sincere in his advocacy of a redistribution of national wealth, and he praised him as a man with nerve enough to maintain a fight against Wall Street. He urged the veterans to make Wall Street pay, to take Wall Street by the throat and shake it up, and if they wanted to get the bonus that had been promised them, they would have to organize and get together and do as the veterans of other wars have done. Now, it was a fighting speech in the classic populist vein, and it sparked national controversy. Now, the Cincinnati Times-Star was a newspaper controlled by American Legion officials. They angrily accused Butler of advocating a soldier dictatorship. Now, they interviewed him afterwards in Atlanta about his attack on the Legion, and Butler stuck by his guns and added fuel to the fire by stating grimly, "I've never known one leader of the American Legion who has never sold them out." And as for the Star's accusation that he wanted a military dictatorship, he replied with a speech denouncing crackpot rightist movements that advocated such a course for America. And his suspicions about McGuire were obviously very much on his mind when he made that. And he made it clear he was stumping the country only on behalf of the ordinary forgotten soldier, just as FDR had crusaded for the forgotten man. And what he told the reporters, "I went on the retired list after 33 years of making wars to rock and rock. So many former soldiers came to me with their pathetic stories that I bounced out of retirement. All we soldiers are asking is that the nation give us the same break that's being given to the manufacturers, the bankers, and the industrialists." And they went around the country trying to educate the soldiers out of the sucker class. They were considered as the sucker class, taken advantage of by everybody. And the leadership of the American Legion, it's the opposite of the true wishes of the membership. The leadership has a different wish than the membership has. And Butler's first bombshell, it was mild compared to his next broadside against the establishment with an Atlanta speech the next day, and the New York Times features it under the headlines, "General Butler Lays War to Bankers." And war was largely a matter of money, he told the veterans who gathered to hear him. "Bankers lend money to foreign countries, and when they cannot repay, the president sends Marines to get it. I know, I've been in 11 of these expeditions. The world was not through with war," he warned, "but we can help get rid of it when we can strip capital along with men."
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment here. And, of course, Major General Smedley Butler's story is very, very similar to the story that was told by John Perkins in the book Confessions of an Economic Hitman, which we carry. And, of course, he was on the other side. He was part of this movement. We'll be back in just a moment.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily, call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the unnecessary epidemic, because you need to understand the background to this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items. Have you ever wondered whether you're really getting the truth from the media? Have you ever thought that maybe somebody's controlling your reality? Well, there's going to be a meeting. It's going to be held at the Westin Hotel over by Great America. It's going to be on May 28th and 29th, and it's going to be at the Conspiracy Conference. Now, if you'd like to know more about the Conspiracy Conference, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. This is the fifth exciting year they've had this. Dick Gregory's going to be there, Nick Begich. There's going to be Daniel Hopsicker, Jack McLam. I'm going to have a booth, although I'll not be speaking. You're going to see really the contrast between good and evil. The Conspiracy Conference is a great educational opportunity. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to going May 28th, 29th. That's 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999.
Are you
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Arthur Bernclough from Veterans for Constitutional Law. Arthur, why don't you go ahead and get your telephone number out? Because, of course, Arthur works with veterans who are trying to get their disability payments or other care from the Veterans Administration. And let me tell you that the people who work for the Veterans Administration are actually rewarded in giving bonuses for turning down veterans. So could you like to tell our listeners how they can reach you?
I can very easily be reached. I'm Arthur Bernclough. I'm Executive Director of Veterans for Constitutional Law, and we're a grassroots veterans organization. We don't get paid by the Veterans Administration. We don't ask them for freebies. We won't take freebies, and we have refused the charter to keep our independence. Our group is called Veterans for Constitutional Law Limited, and we're located at 112, number 112 Jefferson Avenue, 112 Jefferson Avenue in Port Jefferson, New York. Port Jefferson, New York, our zip code is 11777. I'm very easily reachable by phone, telephone. It's 631 area, 474-4261. Or my email is Bernclough at earthlink.net.
All right, fine. Thank you very much. We'll try to get that out again. We've got John calling from Ohio, and he says he has a copy of the book. Do you have a copy of Jules Archer's book?
Yeah, it was a powerful book, and as you say, it seemed...
I can't hear him.
As you say, it was a very powerful book, and it seemed to vanish from the store shelves very quickly, right, and even from the libraries, I noticed.
It was pulled out. Pulled it out.
Yeah, this guy was a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter.
He was wonderful.
All right. Basically, his story is, and I believe he's absolutely right, that, of course, our military has been used not to defend America, but has been used to push the internationalist agenda of our great corporations, whose loyalty is not to this country, but to a different dream, and that is this whole idea of a world government, and of course, in the process, they're going to make a lot of money. Anything else you'd like to say, John?
Yeah, that famous quote about him saying, "I was a high-class muscle man for big business, Wall Street, and the banker, a gangster for capitalism." seemed to only circulate among the some of the more experienced anti-war movements. You never hear it in the media. And
they were afraid to talk about it.
One of the important things, I saw it last in isreview.org, but I've noticed that one of the things that this McGuire, the sinister character that was approaching him for this alliance with Hitler and Mussolini to overthrow Roosevelt and establish a fascist dictatorship here, was he said, don't worry about it, when Butler was stringing him along saying, can we get away with this? He said, don't worry about it. We control the newspapers and the radio. You won't have to worry about a thing. The big, dumb American people will fall for it in a minute. And if there was a concentration of that Wall Street control over the media back then, imagine how much more it is now with the six...
To a certain extent, he was right.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, what happened was that, of course, after the testimony before the House Committee on Un-American Activities, why, of course, then the media came out to vilify and demonize Major General Smedley Butler for daring to tell the truth. And we see this today when people get up and tell the truth about what's going on. Immediately, they're attacked and vilified, and then, of course, they lose their jobs.
Well, you know, General Butler, when he made that last statement, he pointed out that soldiers who went through the horrors of war were not the same when they came back. And he added vehemently, we ought to make those responsible pay through the nose. And this is why the Veterans of Foreign Wars was calling for immediate payment of the soldiers' bonus, in addition to compensation asked for disabled veterans and pensions for veterans' widows and orphans. Now, ex-servicemen were made the butt of an economy act passed by Congress. That's the Economic Emergency Act of 1933, which was a disaster. This is why we have all the trouble with the Veterans Administration today. It was because of the Economic Emergency Act of 1933, which was declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. And yet, this is still in effect, but it's in effect for veterans. It's not in effect for the rest of America. Now, Butler charged because the principle of taking care of soldiers is nothing at all but an old age pension to which the nation eventually will come, and the bankers don't want it. He added caustically, if Charles Dawes got $90 million for a sick bank, soldiers ought to get it for sick comrades, pointing out that veterans could muster 20 million votes among themselves and their families. He urged them to use this pressure at the polls and to force decent care of the disabled.
All right, let's see if John has. John, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Well, yeah, I was just going to mention that the choice of these Fortune 500 types to overthrow Roosevelt was MacArthur, because he had dealt so ruthlessly with the bonus marchers, and they loved that. But then they said this won't sell to the what they called the big dumb American public. They had to put a fake populist cover on it, and they said, well, let's get this Butler, because he's so popular with the rank and file veterans. And so I think we see that same kind of phenomenon now. You know, the Republicans and the right-wingers are always claiming that somehow they're the ones that represent the common man, the Rush Limbaughs and the rest getting, millions and millions of dollars to brainwash Joe Sixpack.
Exactly.
And somehow that they're representing the common man.
Okay, well, I think you're absolutely right, John.
After what MacArthur did in the bonus march, the veterans would not follow MacArthur, whereas they follow Smedley Butler to hell.
All right, so that's absolutely true. But then, of course, MacArthur got a very, very good press, and I think MacArthur was a great general. But he also did compromise his principles, and that's one thing Smedley Butler, once he realized what was going on, would not do. Well, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and our plea is, you have to learn from history. Those who do not remember history are condemned to repeat it. And because most people don't know what happened during the First World War, we had no business going into the First World War. They got us into it, at least in part, by sending Americans on a boat called the Lusitania that they knew was going to be sunk so that they would be killed and then we would have a cause to rally behind. And that's exactly what they did in the Second World War with leaving the boys there at Pearl Harbor to die. And they had, of course, the Gulf of Tonkin incident. That's how they got us into Vietnam. But we never talk about the three million Vietnamese who were killed during that war, because they're not important. We only talk about the American boys who died, and I feel terrible about them. But are Vietnamese lives any less important? And then, of course, now, we find ourselves in another war. And I really fear that we are being manipulated into World War III, and nobody is speaking out against it. The churches are going along with this, and so many of our religious organizations are taking large sums of money from the government on the faith-based initiative. And I believe that one day these people are going to have to answer before God for their silence in times like this. Well, we've got Steve who's calling from Oregon. Hi, Steve. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, Eisenhower was also there to suppress the Bonus Army.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, he was second in command to MacArthur.
Yep. You know that Butler's work is out on the Internet in many places.
Right, and I would encourage people to get it. Is his speech, War is a Racket, up there? Because that's a very important speech.
Yes, it is. That's where I just recently been introduced to it, and that's where I read it, was on the Internet. And your book is out there also, Dr. Bonteef. I don't know how you feel about that, but it's circulating.
I want to get the word out. And the highest form of flattery is if somebody takes your work and puts it out there.
Well, I'll tell you what I've been doing, Dr. Stan. When we get $300, we order a dozen of these books to be printed up over at Staples, extra large size. And I'm sending them to prominent members of the media and upcoming members of the media just to have them not forget Smedley Butler and know what's really going on in their own country.
Arthur, would you spell your last name for me?
It's BERNKLAU.
Okay.
And Steve, I think it's really so interesting that this material is getting out, that the Internet has given us the ability to bypass the controlled media. They spent hundreds of billions of dollars buying up all the television stations, so many of them, and the major networks, and so many of the radio stations, and people like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly, and all of these people, both the right and the left. And now, of course, we can get around them with a small PC and people having access to the truth they've never had to before. So I'm really more encouraged than I've been in a long time.
Well, we do some wonderful things on the Internet. In fact, I guess you're aware of what's going on in Chicago with the massive expose on the Veterans Administration there by the Chicago Sun-Times. And now the Tribune has joined in, as have the Knight Ritter papers. I think that whole Veterans Administration system is starting to unravel, and what I say is, thank God, send them back to hell where they came from.
All right, anything else, Steve?
Well, this is one thing that's kind of curious to me. Back in 1955 with the Brown versus Board of Education, they said separate was unequal. How is it that veterans have separate hospitals from the rest of the people? But that kind of, you know, it seems like a paradox there.
Okay. I think the whole hospital system there is an unnecessary system. The hospitals are old, they're antiquated. For the most part, they don't practice modern medicine. I think that a disabled veteran should be given vouchers from the government to go to the private sector and get better quality treatment, and not be blackmailed in the hospitals. A lot of times they go to take a compensation physical in the hospitals, and the VA executives and the rating board members, they got the doctors frightened. They actually blackjacked the doctors into failing people in their physicals, and in other words, not failing them, but finding that they're fit to run in the Olympics.
Yes.
In fact, they had a hearing on the a congressional hearing in the House Veterans Affairs Committee. It was a Congressman McEwen, and he testified there. He says, according to what I hear on the reports here from the doctors, this veteran sitting in front of me is fit to run in the Olympics, yet you can look at this man and you can see he's totally crippled beyond belief.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's another thing.
I'm against the system the way it is. I believe that veterans should be given vouchers and should be allowed to go to the private sector.
All right. Steve, did you have another comment?
Yes. If you notice, I've noticed this a lot of times when I'm reading about drugs and their initial experimentation. If you read into the documents, like when they're trying to get a new drug on the market, it will say, and experiments or trials conducted at VA hospitals.
Yeah,
I think that they use the veterans for experimentation.
Exactly.
Just like as they use the prisoners, and anybody doesn't know what they did at Huntsville Prison,
what they did there, and the diseases
that they introduced there spread into the community, and that had to be totally covered up by our government because they couldn't let the American people realize the terrible diseases they've unleashed on us. We have, of course, Lyme disease. We have millions of people in America with Lyme disease. We have probably close to 2 million people with chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, which merge into one another. They have unleashed terrible diseases on the American people, all in the name of science and experimentation.
And one of the things that they don't tell you about the VA is that they're immune from suits in case they conduct malpractice against veterans.
Amen to that. Well, we got real problems, Steve, but just get those people up there in Oregon listening to our program. Maybe we can get them educated.
All right.
You got a good senator up there with Ron Wyden.
Okay.
Very good senator. Very pro-veteran.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Give your address again, please.
Oh, get your address out one more time.
We're located at 112 Jefferson Avenue, and that's in Port Jefferson, New York. And it's Veterans for Constitutional Law, comma, Limited, or LTD.
Zip. What's your zip?
What's your zip
code? The zip code here is 11777, and I'm Arthur Bernklau. I'm executive director there. And I get paid $1 a year. It's my retirement job.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Steve. Okay, fine. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I think that certainly our country has an obligation to take care of its veterans, but we should not be sending them overseas to fight in up foreign wars. Why did we go to war in the First World War? People will give you all sorts of reasons, but none of them are valid. Why did we go into the Vietnam War? I mean, we were not ever threatened by the communists in Vietnam.
No,
and we certainly never went there to try to win the war. Because you can't tell me that the largest country in the world, the most powerful country in the world, would fight a 10-year war against a country the size of Mississippi and lose that war unintentionally.
By the way, the House Un-American Activities Committee, you might say, was pressured by FDR when it became apparent that there was going to be some jail terms for people. The testimony at the hearings were very, very indicting, and it became apparent that there was going to be some people put in jail, and FDR put a stop to that. He says, "I don't want anyone going to jail." Especially since there were two people who were pretty much indicted for going along with this financial group.
That you're talking about now trying to overthrow the presidency.
Exactly. One of them was John W. Davis, who ran for president as a Democrat in 1924. And the other one was Al Smith, a very popular Democrat who ran for president. And he was afraid that President Roosevelt was afraid that this would ruin the Democratic Party. So there were no jail terms meted out, and they actually stifled the whole thing.
Well, of course, with so many things today, the American people just never get the truth.
I mean, that's right.
To this very day, we can't get the truth about what happened at Pearl Harbor because so much of the information is still classified. We can't get the truth about what happened with President Kennedy's assassination because the information is still classified. We can't even get the information about what happened in Oklahoma City or what happened on 911 because it's all classified. And if there's nothing to conceal, why are they concealing it from the American people?
You know, all this is reminiscent of one thing to a former president, Andrew Jackson. He said, "One man with courage makes a majority."
Well, Andrew Jackson certainly was one of the great heroes of our time, or at least of another era. And, of course, most people have forgotten that it was Andrew Jackson who saved the Republic, during the War of 1812 and the Battle of New Orleans.
You remember, he also said, "It is to be regretted that the rich and powerful too often bend the axe of government to their selfish purposes. Many of our rich men have not been content with equal protection and equal benefits, but have besought us to make them richer by act of Congress." And that's what Andrew Jackson said when he defended his opposition to rechartering the Bank of the United States, which made a lot of promises but didn't keep them. And I had almost forgotten about this until I read it in your October 2004 newsletter.
Well, that was a fun newsletter to write. You know, Andrew Jackson once said about the Bible, "That book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests."
Yes.
That book, sir, is the rock upon which our republic rests. But, of course, that's why we can't have it in the schools today. That's why we can't talk about God, because that is the foundation of our republic. Andrew Jackson realized that, but of course, so few of our young people realize that today. We're out of time, Arthur. God bless you. Thank you so very much for being
with us. God bless you for putting out these newsletters, too, Dr. Stan. They're wonderful.
Thanks very much. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation
that there was
a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Future. Well, it starts with a sound education. BHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000. This is health.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and we've been talking about war. I believe we need a strong military to defend America. I do not believe we need a strong military to be pushing an international agenda and destroying the nations, the governments of other nations who, for one reason or other, won't go along with our regime. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, we have installed corrupt dictators in country after country after country throughout the world, because the people who control both of our political parties do not have a loyalty to America. Their loyalty is to this idea of a world government and a new world religion. Well, let's just simply point out, if you'd like to understand the wars of the last century, we have a great video. It's called Iraq, The Untold Story. And you can get the video, or then, of course, you can get the syllabus. And, of course, the syllabus will give you all the documentation for everything we talk about. The fact that we were building up Hitler's Germany prior to the Second World War. We have there a letter from the American ambassador to Germany, 1936, written to Colonel Howe saying, why are American corporations building up the war-making potential here in Germany? We just got through a major world war. Nobody wants another world war. Why are the American factories building up the military in Germany when they can't get any money out because of exchange restrictions? Fascinating material you'll never see any other place. The fact that we didn't have to drop the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki because the Japanese had been trying to surrender for 6 months and we wouldn't let them. So, ladies and gentlemen, you need to know the truth. Iraq, the Untold Story is really one of the best talks we've ever given. And then, of course, the syllabus gives you the documentation. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you want to know the truth about Vietnam, our four-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story. If you want to know about the boys we left behind, that's the story, that's the video. Pardon me, that's a four-tape set. The men we left, the men we left behind. And then, of course, the story of Bobby Garwood, the one man who came back, one man returned. All of these four tape sets are available. We have, of course, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee report that tells you about the men, the soldiers, the valiant soldiers who went overseas to fight in the First World War and were abandoned by your government. The 25,000 who were abandoned in the Second World War. The men who were abandoned in Korea, about 8,000. The men who were abandoned in Vietnam, and many of them are still there, abandoned by your government. You need to get the truth. And, of course, it's in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee report. You can get it by itself, or certainly you can get it along with what we call the Vietnam Special, which is the tape sets and books and that one we just talked about. That's the Vietnam Special. You get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, if you want to really understand what's in store for you and your family, you need to get my new video. It's called None Dare Call It Genocide. That's None Dare Call It Genocide. If you have not yet read my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, so you can begin to connect in the dots and see how this all fits together. The book is easy reading, it's inexpensive, and of course it's available by itself, or you can get it with a video which tells exactly the same story, or the audio tape which tells the same story, or get them all together. And then you can copy the video, and you can copy the audio tape, and you can get it out, and when people challenge you, you can go to the book, and you can get the source material and the documentation for what we say. The telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our website is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. You can listen to our archive programs. You can listen to our live programs 3 hours a day and link to the other sites where you can listen for another couple of hours and you won't get anything done. But at least you'll begin to understand what's going on and hopefully learn how to present these ideas to others, because we're involved in an ideological war and most people don't even understand that America is under attack today. So pray for America and pray for revival and pray for our leaders, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.